Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome back to Fellowship Talks today. This is episode number 9. I am glad that you are listening to us today. We are your hosts, Dan Schaefer
and Amy Scrivanos. Dan, I'm really excited about this podcast today. We're going to be talking with Clay and Lauren Kennard.
Absolutely. Clay and Lauren are missionaries in Rome sent by Fellowship. And they're back in the U.S. raising support and taking care of a few other things. And we wanted to snag them here in the studio before they head back to Europe.
Yeah, throughout this podcast, we want to introduce our Fellowship family to some of the missionaries we support and send across the world. I'm really excited about talking with Clay and Lauren today.
Yeah, I can tell you're excited. This is the second time you said it.
I just want to make sure people know how I really feel about it. So God brought them into our Cabot campus and worked in their hearts to where they opened themselves up to moving to Rome to serve as missionaries.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. So let's talk to them about it. Clay and Lauren, it's good to have you guys with us today on the podcast.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here with you guys.
Do you guys remember your first experience with Fellowship?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah, do you want to share that, Lauren?
At that time, Fellowship was in what we call the dinghy. It was a very small place that they were renting. And on Sunday mornings, the children's church was right above the sanctuary.
So this is the first location in Cabot as they were launching that campus.
And it was like the ceiling was going to cave in on us, all the kids jumping and dancing. And but we were met with a lot of warmth. We were searching for a church home. We were new to Cabot, and we found it.
What year was this?
Oh my gosh. It was 2006, probably, close to 2007.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, about 11 years ago.
Yeah, so our oldest, he was almost 3, and then Ava, our second child, she was very young.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So tell us a little bit. I know when Brandon had you guys up on stage a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. He was sharing, or you were sharing with us, about kind of the steps of your calling. Mm. And can you share a little bit with us about kind of how you got from Cabot to Rome?
Sure. Well, we talked about on that Sunday morning how, you know, we're going through this series, Going After the One. And so shortly after we began attending Fellowship Cabot, they moved to the location where they are in now. And after attending for a while, the pastor at the time, Charlie Lofton, reached out to Lauren and asked if we would be willing to serve in FSK.
Nice.
And so thinking, well, we're obviously not equipped to do this, but why not? Let's get plugged in. Let's get involved. There's a lot of energy when you launch a new campus, and so it was exciting to be part of something new. And so we jumped in, and we started serving in a small group. And we had, I believe it was the second and third graders, mm-hmm. who've just recently graduated from high school and gone off to college.
Very but, surreal.
So through that, we started to serve. And as we were serving, we really felt connected to the church. We realized the church wasn't this place where we're called just to come participate as spectators, or just even to worship corporately as a body, but we're called to serve one another. We're called to love one another. We're called to edify one another. And so serving in FSK is a great opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a master theologian in order to share God's love with children.
Definitely not.
Or their parents. And so as we're doing that, we're starting to grow in our faith. But we weren't plugged into a community. And so John O'Leary at the time was the associate pastor at the Fellowship Cabot campus. And he asked me to lunch one day and said, would you be interested in going into a community group? And we had kind of pushed back on this for a while. We'd been asked several times, but he was like, hey, this is important. You need to do this. And so we decided to join a community group. And it was led at the time by Clayton and Sarah Owens, who are still at Fellowship Cabot. Wonderful family. Great orthodontist for anyone that has braces needs in Cabot. But we started attending their community group. And through that, we got to experience discipleship in the context of community. And so here we are, not just on Sunday morning, but beginning to share our lives with other people, growing in our faith. And Lauren was sharing her life with a group of women, mm-hmm. several of them at the same stage of life, some of them at different stages of life. And so we're able to learn from others. We're able to reproduce in the life of others. And so we started to understand what discipleship looks like in community. And then that led to John O'Leary asking if I would join a D group, which was a group of men that met once a week in the evenings.
Shout out to John O'Leary.
Shout out to John O'Leary.
He never asked people to join D groups, does
never.
He?
Never. And you know what? This was actually the first official D group title, I think, that was used, because at the time, Fellowship was still using community groups or...
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, small groups. So I'm, I guess, alumni of the original D group. And we would come together and... We would pray together. We would memorize scripture. We would study theology. We would hold each other accountable. And through that, there was this emphasis on viewing the world through the eyes of a disciple. Mm. What does it mean to view the world through the eyes of the disciple? And what is our understanding of the Great Commission? Is that something that only pastors or missionaries are called to do? Or is that something that everyone who is a follower of Christ is called to do, to make disciples? And we walked away understanding that, hey, we're all called to do this. And so the Lord started working in my heart, and he started working in Lauren's mm-hmm. heart. Okay, God, would we be willing to walk away from everything if you called us to something new? I had a really good job in Little Rock working for a technology firm. Lauren was a stay-at-home mom and sharing her life with other women and other mm-hmm. stay-at-home mothers. And we wrestled for a couple years with the Lord. I remember some of the thoughts were, okay, God, I'm blessed to have this job. We have a comfortable life. Our kids are happy. There's a good school system here. We've got this great church, this great community. Surely you wouldn't ask us. Yeah, grandparents and family. Mm-hmm. Surely you wouldn't ask us to put that at risk, right? Our kids' happiness, their safety. But ultimately, it came down to, are we content in just knowing him? Are we willing to completely surrender our lives to him? Mm. You know, Jesus said that the cost of discipleship is huge. That, you know, we need to be willing to walk away from ourselves in order to follow him.
Yeah. So when you were talking with Brandon, one of the things you said was that there was a point where there was a shift in that question, and it shifted from "Would we do that for God?" to "God, would you have us do this for you?" So tell us a little bit about. What's the difference in that question? What was that shift there?
Yeah, absolutely. So before, even, hey, would you serve an FSK? Yeah, let's do that. Would you lead a community group? So one of the things as we were wrestling with this stirring of our hearts was, okay, God, we'll do one more thing for you. What would we do for you? Well, okay, we'll step in and lead a community group. And so those are wonderful things. But it was our approach, because it was still our life. We hadn't completely surrendered our plans for whatever his may be. So there was this wrestling with contentment. But through discipleship, through the teaching at Fellowship Bible Church, through men like John O'Leary and other men at Cabot, and the women at Cabot and Brad Herndon and Allison Herndon pouring into our lives as we grew in our understanding of who Christ was, of the gospel and the implications of the gospel for our life, we realized that true contentment is only ever found in knowing Christ, and that the real scope of our life is to live sent, is to live for him. And mm-hmm. so you shift at that point from, okay, God, it's not would I do this for him, because you've realized, like, he has already done everything for me. And because of that, I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven of my sins. I have eternal life. And we're called to be ambassadors. So what does that look like? And so instead of saying, would I do that for him? You go, God, would you have us do that for you? So as you're living with this mentality of, hey, I am to make disciples, and you're praying to God, hey, help me to see the world through the eyes of a disciple. Lord, help us to see opportunities. At that point, you're just living, understanding your purpose as his ambassador, whether that's obviously it's to your children, to your family, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, or across the sea.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Lauren, how did you guys get started heading to Italy?
Well, through all, you know, like Clay was saying, through all the conviction and, you know, God, we want to surrender our lives and we want our plans to be your plans. God, Clay shared that with his D group and they started praying through that. Mm. And I know he shared some of that on Sunday morning, praying through what that would look like. We didn't know what God was calling us to. And Clay was feeling that stir in his heart before I was. And so they prayed with Clay at his D group. And they, one of the guys specifically said, confirm it through Lauren.
Mm.
whatever it is, God, because I was struggling with my comfort. I was struggling through fear. And so through time and prayer and a lot of guidance from pastors, friends, you know, John O'Leary brought us a huge stack, and the question was, what about missions?
A stack of literature from a missions conference
that he had been through. And we let it collect dust for a little while before we honestly started going through it. And then we thought, well, maybe that is what God, like, you know, Brandon shared also, someone asked him, have you thought about going overseas? And that was the same for us. It was, maybe that is what God's calling us to do. So we prayed through that, and then we started looking through those pamphlets. We started asking other missionary friends their advice on mission agencies. And ultimately, the first thing we did was share that with, it was then Rosie Stevens, and said, God's calling us to something we don't know. Could you help us?
Who is Rosie Stevens?
She was the missions pastor at that time. Okay. And so she just so graciously walked us through prayer and helping us figure out, you know, and just said, well, we're here, and kind of guiding us through that. Ultimately, we chose World Venture as our mission agency, sent by Fellowship Bible Church.
Awesome.
And it is kind of a long story, but I'll narrow it down. Basically, when we chose World Venture, they match your spiritual gifts, your previous career or current career, with quote-unquote job listings on the website.
Yeah.
And you are matched with a counselor, and they walk you through that.
Okay.
And you go through interview.
No.
And we basically, again, said, we don't know where God's calling us.
We knew it was Western Europe. Our heart was broken for Western Europe.
Thank you for adding that. We did at that point, because of the state of the evangelical church there, and which is 1% evangelical in Italy.
But that's the average across Europe.
And so after we had chose that, they came back with us and said, would you consider moving to Naples, Italy? And so, Clay, you can pick up on how amazing that was.
Yeah, so when we went to World Venture, we said we want to help with church planting and discipleship. Because at that point, we were resolved to walk away from our life, which meant walking away from my career in information technology.
Okay.
And when they sent us the list of everything in Europe, Naples specifically had a church planting intern position, which we need formation. We've never helped plant a church before. But at the same location, there was a job description for someone that could provide IT needs. And when we asked specifically what that meant, the description and the responsibility was along the same type of work I had done in my job here in Little Rock, Arkansas. Wow. But it would be used to train pastors and lay people in the church.
Okay.
So for us, that was confirmation. We're going, God's calling us to Italy.
Yeah, to be that specific.
Right.
It was amazing.
With who, your skills and, that's amazing.
So what year did you guys move over to Italy then?
2013.
Yeah.
Yeah. June 2017, we celebrated 4 years in Italy.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
How many kids did you have in 2013?
We had three kids.
Three kids.
Yes. And
what was it like wrapping your mind around moving not only yourselves but three kids to another country?
You know, I struggled with fear. You know, what that was going to do to them emotionally. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, when God calls you to something, he also gives you his peace about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't go into this, you know, thinking, oh, it'd be cool just to go and move over to Italy, you know. It was him that directed us, and he opened every door, and he gave us the peace, and he, you know, and so we had peace about it, and God has been so faithful. And has it been hard? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It has been very hard, but our kids are growing, they're fluent, they're flourishing, and so
they're fluent in Italian?
They are, we all are,
They attend the Italian public school systems, which was a decision that caused a lot of tears.
It was hard.
It was another example of where there's fear for our children's well-being. But through that, we had to remember that God had called us, how he had confirmed that along the way, that we had people praying for us and supporting us. And it was another opportunity to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Lord loves them way more than we ever could.
Right.
And we view our family, we firmly believe that God didn't just call Clay and I, he called our whole family.
Right. Mm.
And we're a missionary family, and our children are definitely included in that. Yeah. They're just not some help, you know.
Yeah, I got to meet your kids this morning, and I will say they seemed very well adjusted.
They
and
are.
You know, one of the things I see sometimes when you put kids in those situations, they gain a confidence in speaking with adults. Mm-hmm. That I saw that in your children, that they had no problem engaging with me and talking with me today.
Yeah.
And really neat kids.
Well, a lot of that too is the Italian culture. It's very, very social.
Mm.
So we spend a lot of time around dinner tables. We spend a lot of time eating together.
A lot of talking.
Yeah.
What's your favorite food in Italy?
Oh, wow.
I don't have a favorite food. I like food, which is a way God prepared me for service in Italy.
My favorite is melanzane, which is eggplant.
Yeah.
Eggplant parmigiana.
Mm.
Yeah, they have a lot of different ways to prepare eggplant.
And the foods of different regions, they're just very different, and they're all very confident in how they prepare them. I really love Roman pizza, but Neapolitan pizza is the best.
What's the difference in Roman pizza?
A lot of difference.
Yeah. Well, Neapolitan pizza's got a thinner crust. It's often cooked in a wood fire stove. So like Zaza's in Little Rock or Conway, that's Neapolitan
style
pizza.
It's kind of the
closest
that we found.
Okay.
And we love it.
Roman's going to be put in a regular electric oven, thicker crust. Mm-hmm.
Domino's,
more
Pizza
toppings.
Hut kind of style.
No.
That's blasphemy.
The coffee, we love the coffee.
Yeah.
And we have our morning and afternoon coffees every day.
Sometimes.
So.
More?
Yeah. Yes.
So take me back, Lauren, to that first time that your family took a step off the airplane and you stepped foot in Italy. What were your thoughts and what were you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
That very first time.
I think you should go with we're in the car, because the airport situation was just chaotic.
Oh, well,
just
number one,
we
did not ship a crate of things to Italy. We only brought our suitcases. So we arrived in Italy with a lot of suitcases.
15 huge bags
and
three
thought,
little kids,
how are we going to do this navigating the airport with all these suitcases and our children? So that was, chaos. But my original thought was, thank you, God, we made it. We're here. All that's happened, we're here.
Yeah.
I was just so happy that we were finally here.
Yeah.
You have overwhelm. You're overwhelmed because we did not know the language. We didn't know any Italian. So as you can imagine, grocery shopping, everything was really chaotic. But there was
over
four hours
our first time in the grocery store
trying to figure out what everything was, if it wasn't obvious,
and no cell service, so Google Translate was useless for us.
And not that we didn't have a lot of colleagues that are already there that wanted to help us, but we were determined, no, we can do it ourselves. Let us just get in there.
It was a humbling experience. You
very
should accept.
Do you encounter many Italians that can speak English to help you out, or
in Naples? I would say yes, because we have a military base, a U.S. military base. There was a lot of Americans in Naples, but in Rome, where we live now, which we've lived there 2 years, not a lot.
Yeah, in our
really,
neighborhood, no.
No, there's, we're one of maybe three Americans that we know of that live anywhere near us.
Mm.
And so they learn British English.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very, very proper if they want to speak in English with us. Most part, we're talking
y'all.
Italian. No, they would have no idea.
They have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, well, we have you guys in our Global Missions book here at Fellowship. And actually, last night, I was reading through your page with my family at dinner. We have four kids, and we were sitting there reading this story with them. And one of my sons is he's very cautious about volcanoes.
Yeah.
And when we were reading that you guys were in Italy, he perked up and realized that there's volcanoes in Italy.
Yes,
and he wanted to make sure
volcanoes.
Are you guys safe where you're at from volcanoes?
No, that's a good question. I appreciate his concern. We are safe from, let's say, Mount Vesuvius, which buried Pompeii. So that's by car 2 hours south from Rome. We aren't safe from Campi Flegrei, which is like the super volcano also in Naples that you don't hear as much about. But it would be like the super volcano in Yellowstone. If it goes, Western Europe pretty much is toast. But, we are safe because we know God's hand is on us, is over us and protecting us. And that doesn't guarantee that we're going to be we're not going to be physically harmed, but we can still go forward knowing that He is good and sovereign and in control.
Yeah, I would say absolutely. More than likely from a volcano, we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good. That would be an interesting way to go.
You could pray for that.
I don't think we'll boast about the ways we went in heaven, but be able to say I went in a super volcanic eruption
would be pretty epic.
That would be epic. Well, our Global Missions book also goes into explaining a little bit of what you guys are doing over in Rome, what your role is, what your work looks like. And there's a lot of things listed in here that you're teaching, you're preaching, you're doing technology, all this stuff. So what exactly are you doing in Rome?
Yeah.
What's your regular work look like?
Well, just basically to sum it up, first and foremost, we're a missionary family. So we share our lives with the people in our community. We are intentionally trying to disciple our children and then share our lives with others. So we know the names of the people and the businesses around us. We know our neighbors. They know that they can come to our home. We share a table with people. And so friendship, evangelism, discipleship, in that type of context is a big priority for us. But we're there, obviously, to serve the local church. And so we do that. We serve the local church through helping lead community group, small group, D group, and a student ministry. Through teaching, through preaching, and through sharing our lives also with the members of the church and modeling to them, what does it look like to think outside of the walls of this church? What does it look like to serve the city, to love our neighbors, to share our lives, to be vulnerable with other people? Like Brandon said, to trudge through that awkwardness, right, of having that first conversation. And then I help from a technology perspective with the center that is training Italians to be pastors, not just on a local level in Rome, but also on a national level for all of Italy. And then I'm the director of communications for the Reformanda Initiative. And what we do is we train and equip the evangelical world on Roman Catholic theology and practice and how to engage Roman Catholics with the biblical gospel of justification by faith alone. And
that is interesting. That's good.
That's global. But we have just been invited and accepted a opportunity to come alongside a young Italian couple who are undergoing formation right now through a residency program in the center of Rome. They've been called to pastor and to plant a church in one of the neighborhoods in the center. And so we accepted that position, and so we will be walking through them with that and working together to, Lord willing, plant a new church in the center of Rome within the next couple of years.
So will that be a move for you guys then? Will you be moving from where you are to where that church plant is?
We don't have to move cities, but we will be moving neighborhoods because we are going to move to the community, obviously, where the plant is going to happen with this Italian couple and, Lord willing, with a couple other Italian families that feel called to be a core group.
Right.
Wow, that's really exciting.
My day, basically, like I said, I'm a stay-at-home mom. It looks like it would in the States, but in a different culture. Yeah. Life takes a lot longer. We hang our clothing. I don't have a dishwasher. Housework takes a long time. But
and now with four kids.
We don't drive, so we walk everywhere. We basically go to the grocery store every day because food doesn't have the preservatives like it does here.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It gets a little exhausting. We literally are out and about every single day, all day. And so that is a lifestyle that we've grown to just love, living in a city, living in an apartment, being out. And it's just, we love it. We love it.
So how would you say what you're doing in Rome, how does that impact fellowship here in Central Arkansas?
Yeah, well, we tell people that here we served in the local church. We experienced discipleship in the context of community. We tried to love our neighbors, and I went to work. And Lauren, had the ministry of motherhood, obviously. In Rome, she has the ministry of motherhood. We share our lives with people. We serve in church. We experience discipleship in the context of community, and I go to work. It's just in another culture. And so as we are called to live sent, that is no matter where you are located, whether that's working here in Little Rock, Arkansas, whether that's as a stay-at-home mom in your ministry, as your children, whether that's going overseas, we're all called to do that. And so that's what I would say. That's what that has to do with fellowship, because fellowship's vision is to make disciples who live by God's grace and for God's glory at home and around the world. Mm. So we are all called to say, God, help me to see my world today, that you, where you have placed me, through the eyes of a disciple. Let me see where you are at work. Give me opportunities to be what it is you've called me to be, and that's an ambassador, to share your love with other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So how can we at Fellowship here at Cabot, Benton, and Little Rock be a part of what you're doing in Rome?
Yeah, well, definitely pray. Mm-hmm. Pray for our children. Pray for the Italian church. Like Lauren said, Italy is 1% evangelical. I pray for the Italian pastors. It can be a very discouraging place to do ministry. You don't see a lot of results. So it's just a long process. Pray against spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And I would say, too, come on a short-term mission trip. Fellowship's going to be bringing teams to Italy to serve alongside us so that we can serve the local church in the city. That would be a huge encouragement. We had a team last year, and we were so encouraged by that, as was
it's a different kind
the local
of
church.
A different kind of mission trip, but we definitely need people to come and serve.
Yeah. Fellowship family, you can be looking for that information just by coming over to our missions walls at our campuses, or we'll have a link in the show notes too for the podcast that you can look at going over to visit them and serving over in Rome for a short-term period.
Yeah. Mm. And then the last would be if you're interested in partnering with us as a financial partner, you can do that by visiting worldadventure.com/canardfamily. Or talking to the missions team, they can direct you in that as well. Because like you said, we're here raising support, so we obviously do that. But God has been faithful, and we know he will continue to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing your story. There's so much about it that is really just such an example to each of us of what it means to just take that next step of what God's calling you to. And even hearing kind of your story about how John specifically nudged you in some ways. And as we're in the, you know, we've been in this series about just starting with one. And that, just the impact that that's had in your life of just how when we start with one person and encourage them to take that next step, what it can lead to. And one of the things too that stood out to me when you were on stage is you were encouraging us to ask ourselves, what is that next step that God would have us take? And that he will do great things. Like, it'll be, you know, it's just amazing to see him work in ways that we didn't even expect. And so I really appreciate you guys sharing that. And you've kind of shared some of what's next for you all. So it's exciting to get to pray for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and that nudge, too, that nudge might be uncomfortable. It might be
absolutely
something that you find obnoxious. But I think that's where we need to go, wait a second, why does this make me uncomfortable? Is this that awkward situation we need to trudge through?
You know, well, and God really uses us in each other's lives to encourage us to take those next steps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Clay and Lauren. Thanks for being with us today. Amy, this has been a really good conversation this morning, hasn't it?
It really has. I'm really excited.
good. I'm glad you're excited. Well, I'll tell you what, our missions team is excited because we have brand new global and local missions books available at our missions wall that families here at Fellowship can pick up to pray for our missions teams, our mission families all over the world, locally and globally. And this is something that I do with my family, with my kids. At dinner time, we sit down, we read through one of these missionaries a couple times a week and just get to know one of these families. And you know, one of the other things that our missions team really encouraged me with is when we take some time to pray for a specific missionary, also go ahead and email them. Email that missions family and let them know that we're praying for them.
That's a great encouragement.
And we have received those emails before, and there have been times where that was something we needed in that moment. It's caused us to break down in tears. But yeah, please do that.
Awesome.
It is very encouraging.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love getting to just visit with y'all today. I think when we have missions partners on the other side of the world, sometimes we can feel disconnected and not know what's really going on there. So we really appreciate y'all being here today.
No,
it's
thank you.
Pleasure.
We
thank
tell
you.
People we're Fellowship, even in Rome. Hey, we're Fellowship. And so we're just so grateful for Fellowship and for what you guys are doing.
Awesome. So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.